Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news as Ruben Amorim publicly admits his fears around his future at Manchester United. We'll be delving into that straight away. We've also got some updates around transfers and also the 14-year-old superstar in Manchester United's youth setup, who we might be losing to Europe's top clubs. Described as one of the greatest talents ever, who is JJ and why he might be leaving Manchester United? We'll talk about that as well a little bit later in the show and also get your questions in. But time and time again, we have I don't even actually know where this interview is coming from because it's press conference day today and yet it's another interview from Amorim. And look, we're almost getting to the point now where if somebody in the chat can tell us where he did this bloody interview, I would love to know. So basically, this is what Ruben Amorim has said. I understand what people think because if you look at our team and playing and results, it's hard to imagine great things for our club right now. But in the darkest moments, you have to have a light and a way. And that's clear here. I don't know if I'll be there, but the way we think about it, we're going to come back and win things in the future. And I think that wherever this interview was done, and I think it's to do with the same one we were talking last night, I just wasn't aware about this bit. I think it's becoming, in my opinion, very, very clear that Ruben Amorim doesn't believe in the path that Ineos have tracked out. I don't think he does. I really don't. And that's my right to say that, and it's your right to say something else. But I don't actually think he believes in the Ineos project. I think he has to believe in it in the sense professionally, but I don't think he actually believes in it because I don't think a manager is going to be coming out and saying, look, the results are bad, the team's playing bad, and it's hard to imagine that things could go well in the future. But in these dark moments, you have to find a light and a way, and that's clearly what we're trying to do here. I don't know if I'll be there, but the way we're thinking about it, we're going to come back and win things in the future. Look, you can twist it, you can turn it, you can do whatever you like. But when a manager says, I don't know if I'll be there, that doesn't fill you with confidence that he's actually on board with the project. I don't think in any way, shape or form this means that he's looking to walk away. I don't think that's possible. I don't think in any way, shape or form it means he's in imminent danger from Ineos. But I do think it's a significant thing to say. And I think more and more, we are getting significant things coming out of Amorim and the football club. As I said last night, when he's talking about the Europa League not being a priority, the long-term future is. And then again, doubling down on this dark times at the moment, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel and we want to be popular and we want to be winning things in the future, but maybe I won't be part of that. I think my interpretation of that, and I have a right to have an interpretation and you have a right to have an interpretation as well. My interpretation is, if I'm giving a press conference or I'm answering a question about an underperforming business that I'm the manager of, and I say, look, I get what the plan is. Things are bad at the moment, but there is a long-term plan for success. And that's what we're working towards. I don't know whether I'll be part of that, but that is the plan. What I'm basically saying is that things are really bad. We're a long way behind everybody else. There's a hell of a lot of work to do. And on that journey, a hell of a lot of work needs to be done and a hell of a lot of things need to go right. And that puts my position in precarious situation because it's all got to go right. And over the last 10 years, it's all gone wrong. So maybe I don't know. And my personal interpretation as well is I don't think Amorim, in his experience, thinks this is going to work. I don't think he does, because actually, when you break it down, when you look at what Pep did at Man City, he came in to a team that had already won the league and he spent lots of money. He was allowed to spend money to turn Man City from a Pellegrini title-winning side to a Pep Guardiola title-winning side. People forget that the transition between Man City when Pep came in wasn't straightforward. They actually had a bad season. I think he was there when Leicester won the league, actually. They had a transition season. They had already won the league with Mancini and Pellegrini. But they transitioned from a team that could win league titles into a team with a distinctive style of play, Pep ball, and they spent the money on it and they took the time on it. And the same thing happened at Liverpool with Klopp, but they spent the money on it. What Amorim will know is what I know and what you know, is that we know what happened with Pep and Man City, and we know what happened with Klopp and Liverpool, and neither of those two managers went into a football club where they were sacking half their workforce, selling to buy, and talking about a 5 to 10 year project. In football, a 5 to 10 year project may as well be a 100 year project. You just don't get that amount of time. And Ineos can hide away with the Joel Glazers of this world and say, look, we're going to give him time. But you will end up with civil war in your fan base, because people won't just sit back on mercenary billionaires' 5 year projects going, yeah, it's OK if we get stuffed every week and we're not in Europe. And I think Amorim is wise enough to know that. I think Amorim looks at it and goes, I know what the project is. I know what the plan is. They want to ride it out for 5 years, and hopefully in 5 years, Man United will be in a better position. What will that better position be? Well, he's spoken about Premier Leagues. I think that's massively naive, but, you know, 5 years' time, hopefully we'll be fighting for Premier League titles. But I think Amorim also knows 5 years is a long time in football. No Manchester United manager has been given 3 years, really, in the last decade, and things are worse now than they have ever been. So I think he looks at it and goes, when you look at the football landscape and you look at the landscape at Manchester United, I know what Ineos and the Glazers are trying to do, but will I be here to see it happen? It's not likely. And I think that's what he's saying. You know, I don't know whether I'll be here to see it through, but this is the plan. And I think that's what I would take from Amorim there. He knows what the plan is. He just doesn't know whether he's going to be the guy to see it through, because the plan is years of this to hopefully end up competitive. Years of this. And this is inconsistent. This is not winning things. This is miles off your rivals. And I think Amorim is just being honest. Look, we believe in the dark times there is a light some years in the future, and that's what we're working towards. Not necessarily winning the Europa League. We're looking towards a brighter future in the distance. Whether I will be there to see that, we'll have to wait and see. And I think it's very honest. But I don't think for one minute, if you could sit Ruben Amorim down and have an honest conversation with him and say, Ruben, do you want to cut this squad and cut this club to the bone and basically gradually work our way back? Or do you want investment tomorrow? And he will take investment tomorrow, 100%. Amorim desperately needs some additional media training, sounding more and more like a gullible fool on the road to the sack, says Tojam. I disagree, actually. I really like Ruben Amorim. I like the honesty. I'd rather have Ruben Amorim saying what he's saying than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer pretending that it's sunny when it's pissing it down with rain. I thought Solskjaer was way too positive around the Glazer ownership, and it ultimately cost him his job. I think Amorim has to play. He's got to look out for himself, because if he does lose his job, he's only 40. He's going to want other jobs. So yes, he's got to toe the party line, and I think he's certainly doing that. But also, I think he's got to be realistic. And I might be in the minority, but I don't think, as we said yesterday, cutting costs is like preparing for failure. I don't speculate to accumulate, take risks to be successful, cut costs to prepare for failure. I think that's what we're doing. And I don't think that is a strategy in football that has ever worked. He should just walk. We destroy managers' marks, as Carlos. He can't bloody walk. I know it's been said in the past, but a manager cannot walk and should not walk. Why should he walk away from a £10 million payout? Why should he? All he's doing is helping the Glazers. If he walks away, he's helping the Glazers. If he walks away, he terminates his contract. They don't have to pay him out. Oh, here we go, Gareth. Here's your job. He shouldn't bloody walk. He should take him for every bloody penny he's got. Could Ruben Amorim be in a position of power with Ineos making the situation public? He could go about his plan because they really can't afford to sack him, says Hitan. Look, I'm not going to dwell on this one because there are a couple of other comments I want to talk about. But I think if we get knocked out by Sociedad a week tomorrow, you find yourself in the middle of March and your season's over. What are Man United going to do for the next 3 months to make themselves sell season tickets, sell shirts? It'll be transfers. Some of them might end up being true. There might be some desperation spend. I don't know. But I can't think. I remember seasons where we were going to win the league and we got knocked out of the Champions League quite early in March. And I was depressed. even though we were going to win the league, that was a failure. We're going to win the league, but we're out of the Champions League in the quarterfinal stage, and I'd be depressed. But I can't remember a season where in the middle of March, it was all over. Even the Rangnick year, did we not manage to scrounge Europa League football? Yeah, we've never been in the Conference League. So this we are on, yeah, you know what? We are on the cliff edge of the worst season I recall. Because there's no European football, there's no cups, and there's no prospect of getting in the top half of the table in the middle of March if we go out of Europa League. Gary Neville says, morning, Mark. Could my mate and legend of the club, Harry, get a happy birthday? Harry Maguire is 32 today. Happy birthday to Harry Maguire. 32, though. I mean, he was slow at 26, so he ain't going to get any quicker, is he? Amrim is not stupid, says Patrick Lynch. He sees the results. He has seen how the ownership has operated in January, and he has seen the media pressure. I think he sees that he's going to be the fall guy like all the managers before him. Yeah, I exactly. Going back to that previous comment, I think Amrim is in the Tom Cruise zone. It's Mission Impossible. And I think when you're in that role, you've got to start putting stuff out there that is honest about the situation. Now, I will say this right here, right now, to any Man United fan that's thinking of turning on Amrim, and as I said last night, I can already see it, and to any media outlet that's turning on Amrim or ex-player or whatever, give me a manager that comes into this situation and performs. I can give you a manager that will get us higher in the league. I actually think Sean Dyche or David Moyes or somebody like that would get us playing really basic football and move us up the league to about mid-table, but they wouldn't take us anywhere near the top eight. I agree we could be higher in the league, but we won't win anything and we won't go anywhere. We have a manager here with a style of football that, given the right tools, could take us to the very, very top. That's the point of Amrim, and this is where people don't really understand. David Moyes at Man United now, playing basic football, would probably grind us out better results in the short term. You'd be bored to death, we'd never go above mid-table, and it would be shit. Amrim has us in a worst league position, but has a style of football that is modern and capable of being special. And people would pay to watch it. But you've got to give him the players to do it. And we haven't got the players to do it. So you tell me, if Amrim leaves, who's coming in next to take Man United back to where we want to be? Not mid-table, not top eight. Who is going to come and take this Man United side back to the top? Who's going to do it? And there isn't anybody. We're out of options. So I find it absolute stupidity that we even contemplate blaming Ruben Amrim or criticising Ruben Amrim. Because yes, I agree, you could get the likes of Bruno and Harry Maguire and Victor Lindelof and everybody else playing in a system that was quite basic, you know, deep line, counter-attack football, which is what they love. But that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen at all. Someone in the chat said, Slot, give Amrim what Klopp left. They'd be in a better position. Slot's done a fantastic job at Liverpool. I'm not saying Amrim would win the league. I don't think he would. I think Arne Slot's done an incredible job and he deserves massive amounts of praise. But stylistically, he wouldn't have a bloody chance at Man United. I mean, I don't know whether you've watched Liverpool this year, but they actually stylistically play a brand of football that wouldn't suit Manchester United at all because it's football. You've got to be able to pass. The only way back for Manchester United, and I'm bored of saying it, and we said it 2 years ago, the only way back for Manchester United is clearance of the debt, clearance of the Glazers, and Glazers, not the window people, and massive investment. Now, I would, if somebody said to me, it's Ineos and the Glazers, or it's Ineos alone, I would take that now. If the debt was gone, I would take that now. I don't trust Ineos, but they've only been here a year. The Glazers have been here 20 years. Maybe it would be better. But until we remove the Glazers and until we remove the debt, this football club is done. Done. Absolutely done. It needs a total reset. And I'll tell you what, this regeneration project with the government, I couldn't give a toss, actually. Why should we be rescued by a government initiative with the club? I don't give a toss about that. It doesn't clear the debt. The debt is the biggest problem at Manchester United, and the Glazers have inflicted that on us for far too long.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Double D says, stupidity is the deliberate cultivation of ignorance. The greatest enemy of knowledge is not ignorance. It is the illusion of knowledge. Ineos Glazers take note. Ineos charging fees for Amrim interviews, says Jack O'Connor. I don't actually know the answer to where these latest quotes from Amrim have come from. I was thinking embargoed, and then I was like, we haven't got a game to even do an interview until tonight. They are definitely post the FA Cup. I don't know who did the interview. I don't know why it happened. We've literally only lost the game on Sunday, and we've got interview quotes coming out on Tuesday. I don't even know who did it. This is all we need. Amrim gone, then we're truly in the mud. I actually have no hope. Please, please, all of you wake up to how bad the situation is, says Krull. You have to play the fool to the fool, the fools, Amrim, says Abby. You have to play the fool to fool the fools, says Abby. Goat Smoker says, this is a building season. We were never going to win a trophy. Amrim will know who to get rid of in the summer and we'll be better next season for it. Have faith and smile. I love your positivity, mate, but I'm past it. And there will be people who agree with that, but I ain't doing it again. And I don't think a lot of people are doing it again. I've heard it all before. I've seen the movie before and it wasn't that great the first time. I've seen all this shit before. Oh, it's year one. It's all about next year. We'll have a clear out. We'll bring the right players in. I remember Van Gaal clear the deadwood. It never happened. Mourinho clear the deadwood. It never happened. They won't clear the deadwood. They're shit at selling. So I don't believe that. I think next season we will still have lots and lots of players here that you wouldn't want to be here because we can't sell them. And I've got to shout out, forget who sent me the message. I'm going to say TC, but it might not have been. You'll know who you are. Basically, sent us a message last night saying, expect Man United to still be doing all their business in August. Don't expect anything before, because everybody in world football knows that Man United are broke and desperate. So when we try and buy somebody, they'll add 5 million on and we'll negotiate all summer. And when we try and sell somebody, they'll take 5 million off and we'll negotiate all summer. You can only do quick deals when you're being respected in the market. We will not be respected in the market. People will ask for too much because we're desperate, and they will pay too little because we're desperate. And that will mean longer negotiations. So don't expect quick, efficient business this summer. We never get it anyway, but the ingredients, to be fair, this summer dictate that it will take time to do deals because we are desperate. And it's true. The likelihood is any business we do this summer will take a very long time. Look, we might have negotiated something with Quenda and Sporting in advance, and we may have been working on it before, but I think a lot of deals, we won't know what we're doing at the moment, and therefore you can't negotiate till the summer, and therefore it could take a long time. Amrim knows the Ineos plan will take years and other clubs will be even further ahead of us when we finally start moving in the right direction, says Ian Tracy. I think this is absolutely spot on, Ian. When you read it back again, I understand, this is a quote from Ruben Amrim, I understand what people think because you look at our team playing and the results and it's hard to imagine great things for our club right now. But in the darkest moments, you have to have a light and a way, and that's clear here. I don't know if I'll be there, but the way we think about it, we're going to come back and wing things in the future. I mean, I've never heard such an uninspirational mantra to get behind. I don't know if I'll be here, but the way we think about it, we're going to come back and win things in the future. It reminds me of my daughter at school sports day when she was 8. I was watching the race. She definitely finished 3rd. In the car on the way home, she argued with me the whole way, saying she won the race. To the extent that I actually had to stop and think, did I imagine it? And I messaged a friend who was at the school sports day. They were there with their own kid. They weren't just watching kids running races. And I said, unprompted, where did my daughter finish in the running race? Third. And it's amazing what lessons you can learn from your children that are relevant with high-end billionaires. You can't buy belief. And some people believe in things everybody else knows not going to happen. And this is what worries me about this statement. I don't know if I'll be there, but the way we think about it, we're going to come back and win things in the future. And I just think, you know, the way we think about it, we're going to come back and win things in the future. I don't believe your plan's going to work. But my daughter thought she won a race when she came third. And Ineos and the Glazers clearly think their plan is going to lead to success in the future. And I think that is what terrifies me the most, is that that statement just doesn't fill me with any confidence at all. Basically, what Amrim is saying is, we're really bad at the moment, and it's hard to imagine we can be good when things have never been so bad. But we have got a plan, and we think we're going to come back and win things in the future, even if it's without me. And I think, go back to what I said yesterday. Why should we put up with this? Why should we trust this? I don't believe this. I don't believe this. We're rubbish at the moment, but in the future we're going to be good and we believe in it. Look at the first year. Virtually everything they've touched has been completely an opposite logic. I don't believe it. Get one foot in the grave in. Because Man United actually are one foot in the bloody grave at the moment. We're nearly dead and I don't believe it. I do not believe it. I do not believe that cutting costs, looking into the future, while everyone else is running ahead of you, we're going to be okay. Although I don't massively believe that Arsenal are going to go on some sort of dynasty domination of English football for the next 5 years. But they're certainly miles ahead of us. I mean, I watched them last night. They have got a lot of good players, a lot of good players. You talk about their keeper, their centre-backs, Declan Rice, Odegaard. Obviously, Saka's injured at the moment. But they've got people like Lewis Skelly, Wanyeri coming through. And they're going to buy a striker and they're going to get Zubimendi. Like, they are going to be a very good team for the next 3 or 4 years. Man City, look, we don't know. Maybe the court case will take them out of the game. But if it doesn't, they're going to dominate as well. Liverpool, Slot's only been there 1 year. They're going to be rebuilding. They're going to be a threat. That's three teams, I think. Even if you get lucky and knock two out, one of them's still going to be there. So I think there's three teams over the next 5 years that are set up to dominate English football. You're going to be lucky if two don't, but one will still be there. So three teams are going to be better than us over the next 5 years. I just can't see how we dislodge three of those teams in the next 5 years. I don't. Honestly, I don't. 5 years goes quite quickly as well when you think about it. So those three are dominating. And then I think Newcastle, Chelsea, Aston Villa are set up better than us at the moment to be more successful. But maybe we can compete with them. And that's not forgetting the likes of Brighton and everybody else. So I think Amrim's not stupid. I think he looks at it and goes, unless somebody can tell me otherwise, Project 21 or whatever it's meant to be, or 2028 or whatever bullshit they're coming out with at the moment, I think the only thing I think it's just a smoke and mirrors. I think it's just a wish and a prayer. I don't actually see anything strategically that's going to make us good. And you know the people who talk about the youth? Heaven, Obi Martin. These players won't be anywhere near the finished article for, if you're lucky, 3 years, realistically 5 to 7. I just do not see this plan. And I think when you've got the manager saying, I don't know whether I'll be part of it, but the plan is long term, I don't see it. I really don't. I personally think this whole Ineos Glazer plan is about lowering your expectations so much that they can cut this club right down to the bone, make it profitable for them. and what they've got to do, and what I mean by that is they've got to just convince you. If they can keep the revenue at £600-700 million a year, but they can bring costs down by another 100 or 200, that gives you profit that they can pay debt, maybe pay dividends, maybe buy a few players, never compete for the title, but pitches in at about fourth or fifth. Because fifth place will get you Champions League. I think we're looking at fifth place. I think that's where we're looking to be over the next few years. We want to make the club run lighter and cheaper, but still make profit and maybe drop ourselves into fifth place where the club maintains its fan base, keeps selling the goalkeeper third kit and hoodies. And I think that's what they want to do. I don't see any aspirations to win titles. I think it's just words. I think they've actually decided that Man United have got a massive, huge fan base. People will always be interested in Manchester United, which is money. And therefore, you're laughing. I got told something yesterday, and if people have got any stories about this, then they should let us know. I got told something yesterday. I was doing the watch-along on That's Football for the Arsenal game. And somebody was in the chat, and they said, there's an event in LA for Sunday, Man United Arsenal, where you can go and watch the game at one of these super screen places, and it's a ticketed event. And if you buy merchandise, you move ahead of everybody else. And I thought, you know what? That's the manipulation you can do when you've got a large audience. And whilst they've got a large audience, it doesn't matter what we do on the pitch. It really doesn't matter what we do on the pitch. It's like after the game against Fulham at the weekend, where you're out the FA Cup in the fifth round of the FA Cup, at home to Fulham. You've played shit, you've lost on penalties, and there's hundreds of people around the tunnel holding up shirts and smiling for photos. You know, there is an audience there, and it's an attentive audience, and we're basically just being rinsed by businessmen. Slow Sports News says, as I said to you yesterday, I can't see what United plans are, and clearly Amrim is in the same boat. I can see what the plans are, Slow Sports News. I think the plans are to make money. I do not think the plan is to be successful on the pitch. I think they will tell you the plan is to be successful on the pitch, but I think this is financial. I think that's what it is. It now sounds like Amrim is saying what he's been told to say, says Rob, Always United. In a sense, I think you're right, Rob. I think Amrim has been told the plan is long-term, we will be successful. And he's got to sell that. And I think that's why, when you digest what we said on the show last night about how the Europa League's not the priority, it's a long-term sustainable team, is. And I think when you listen to him there and he says, I don't know whether I'll be here for it, but long-term, we want to be successful. I think everything's about tomorrow. Everything's about tomorrow. Everything's about what's going to happen tomorrow, because the great thing about tomorrow is it never comes. And if you can sell tomorrow, you will be a very rich person. You think about what you do for a living. You think about what I do and everything like that. If I could get everybody to say, no United Stand show today, it's going to be tomorrow, and everyone just keeps paying me money for it, I'm laughing, you know, because everyone's going to keep thinking about tomorrow. If you're a plumber who's going to fix somebody's pipes and you get paid for the work today, but you're going to do it tomorrow and then tomorrow and then tomorrow. And I think that's the strategy here. They're playing you on tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to be successful, but tomorrow never comes. Sell a dream, not a reality, says Richard. Absolutely spot on. I think they're selling tomorrow and it will never come. And the great thing about it is that Stoke City can't sell tomorrow. Everton can't sell tomorrow. Man United can sell tomorrow because we've got one of the biggest fan bases in the world. And that's what they're doing. They're just monetizing this huge fan base. They'd never get away with it if it was Aston Villa, because Aston Villa haven't got the fan base that we've got. But you can do it with United because there's always people to sell it to. There was another part to what Amrim said that was quite interesting as well. I must read this out. So he also said that we do a lot of things, we don't win games. And when you don't win games, sometimes you have to change people. We know that. But as a club, we do a lot of things that are difficult to do. A lot of staff pay the price for it. but we will do what it takes to win in the future. I mean, if you can unravel that one, that's today's puzzle. I don't know where this interview came from, so I don't know where I can go and listen to it. So if anybody can tell me where I could listen to it, that would be great. But these are direct quotes from him about, I might not be here, that the Europa League's not a priority. And then you've got this pearl of wisdom where we do a lot of things, we don't win games. And when you don't win games, sometimes you have to change people. We know that. But as a club, we do a lot of things that are difficult to do. A lot of staff pay the price for it, but we do what it takes to win in the future. I can't figure it out. So what he's basically saying is, if you don't win games, you've got to change people. So I would think playing squad. But then he says, we've done a lot of difficult things and we've had to sack people because of it, but we'll do what it takes to win in the future. I don't get that. I don't get that. I really don't really understand it. People who got sacked didn't get sacked because of performance on the pitch. People got sacked so that Ineos and the Glazers could start to make the club more profitable so they can afford to pay the debt. Those people were going to get sacked anyway. I'm fed up of Amorim talking about the people getting sacked being linked to performance on the pitch because it's absolute spin. It's not true. Those people would have been sacked regardless of whether we were in a title race or not. They were always getting sacked. So I don't know why Ruben Amorim is comfortable taking on responsibility for the sacking of 500 people. 250 happened before he even got here. So I don't know why he keeps talking about the sackings. And this, again, is why this football club is so unpalatable. Because if you were Borussia Dortmund or you were Bayern Munich, you have a sporting director, you have a CEO, and they would be speaking about these matters because they are non-footballing issues. And yet the manager is constantly talking about the sacking of people who have got nothing to do with him. He may not have met most of them. Some of them might be like in office jobs. Some of them might be canteen. Some of them might be bloody maintenance. And yet he's talking like, because bloody Lindelof missed the penalty at the weekend, we've had to sack Dave from the maintenance department. I mean, it's complete and utter bullshit. And it's laughable. It's actually laughable that somebody would think there is a correlation between Man United being knocked out of the FA Cup and the need to sack someone from the canteen or the transport department. Like, Man United's turnover is massive. You don't need to sack somebody from the transport department on 30 grand a year because Lindelof missed a penalty in the FA Cup. That's not why it happened. Ineos came in and have cut the club to the bone to cut costs. And they were always going to do that. If we were in a title race, we weren't going to not shut the canteen. We were still going to do it because this is what people like Ineos do when they go into businesses and need to make it more sustainable, they're cutting costs. And I don't know why Amorim keeps talking about performance on the pitch impacting people losing their jobs who've got nothing to do with the football. So it's a weird one. And I think we are getting to the point where it's confusing sometimes what's being said, and you sort of have to unpick it. And I think a lot of people in the chat are right. I think he is being, as Mourinho said, he is it. He is not just the coach. He is not just the manager. He is also the CEO and the owner. Everything, he has to talk about everything. And I don't think this happens at any other football club. It's incredible that he has to speak about things that are not related to the team and the amount of interviews, as we've said before. But I think taking it back to the football, and listening to reading some of these quotes, it's very, very clear that he's following the party line of Ineos and the Glazers in relation to, it's not about short-term success, it's about a much bigger plan. And he could take some security in the fact that Ineos are saying to him, it doesn't matter about the Europa League because we've got a longer-term plan. But I don't for one minute think it doesn't matter about the Europa League. I think the money, I just don't think, I don't for one minute believe that people who are so desperate to save money are cutting money from charities, but they're then saying to the manager, it doesn't matter if we miss out on 90 million in the next 8 months. I mean, come on, I've just answered the question there. I don't believe that. I don't believe that the manager is safe in any way, shape or form, because I don't think you're ever safe at any football club. But I do believe the manager is basically feeding to us that whether this is going to work or not, the plan is to do something completely different in relation to every other club in Premier League's history that's been successful. We're going to take a long time to do it on the cheap. And that's the plan. Why should we put up with that? Why should we be patient with that? Why should we be happy with that? Some of you will be. I don't see why we should be happy with that. Ineos knew the things before buying as United is publicly traded. They're using the media to fool us fans into thinking they had no idea about the issue, says Shawnak. I mean, that's a separate issue, Shawnak, and I suppose it is an interesting point. But if you are for 1 minute thinking about believing that Ineos didn't realise how bad it was going to be, let me just repeat to you that Ineos, or Sir Jim Radcliffe to be specific, gave the Glazers £1.2 billion. Billion, not million, £1.2 billion. Do you think that as part of that process, he didn't do due diligence and check everything from how much we're paying for milk? Of course he bloody did. So don't fall for that. Red Devil Girl, thank you very much. Hope you're doing well. Says, clearly Amrim has been given no reassurances from above that he will get his players this summer. He knows another poor window looms. I think that's a great point. Going back to what he said is about, we believe in the future, we're going to be successful, but I don't know whether I'm going to be here. And that is what we're talking about this morning. There is, without a doubt, a definitive statement from Amrim in this interview where he says, I don't know if I'll be here, but the way we think about it, we're going to come back and win things in the future. So long-term future, they think they're going to win things, but he doesn't know if he's going to be here. But I agree with Red Devil Girl. I think that in what Amrim is saying about the Europa League and about, I don't know whether I'll be there, and the plan is to be successful in the future, that doesn't sound to me like a guy that... I've seen plenty of managers in a bad season say, we're going to be stronger next season. We're going to be competing next season. We've had a bad season, but rest assured, next season we're coming back. I've seen Klopp do that. I've seen Mourinho do that. I've seen Sir Alex Ferguson do that. At what point is Amrim saying that? Has Amrim said that at any point in the last 2 months? Did he say it in that interview? I agree with you, Red Devil Girl. I think that you could read into this that he knows that it could be harder next season, and that's what he's on about. I might not be there, because why would a manager say I might not be there if he's got total and utter... Let me just leave this and move on as the soundbite. Why would a manager in an interview say the plan is to be successful in the future and I might not be there? Why would a manager say that if they've got total confidence in the project? Because if there's one thing managers are, it's egotistical. If Amrim walked tomorrow, there'd be a list of good managers that would still come to Man United, because it's Manchester United. So they'll all, and that's ego. There's always going to be someone to take that job. So why would Amrim sit there or stand there and say, I don't know whether I'll be there, but the plan is to be successful in the future? That doesn't sound to me like a guy that knows the plan, trusts the plan, or believes the plan is definitely going to be successful. That's terrifying. Because you got to back yourself and you've got to believe in what you're doing. And why would he not believe in it? Well, maybe it is because of that. Maybe it's because he looks around at everybody else and goes, they're already too far ahead and their plans in the summer are way better than mine. How am I going to do this?
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Do you think Project 150 and Project 21 is still a thing? That gives us 3 years to win the league, says Rory C. Mate, we're not... Rory, good point. 2028 is when Omar Berada mentioned winning the league for our anniversary. So 2028 is three summers' time. 2025, summer this year. Slow Sports News. 2026 is in a year time. 27, 28. So three seasons' time. We're not winning the league next year. Could we win the league in year two? No. Could we win the league in year three from now? Look, anything is possible, but I would expect you'd need to challenge for it to then win it. We'd have to do a Leicester and come out of bloody nowhere. So I think 3 years is completely unrealistic. Also, can I just say, for anybody that thinks we're going to win the league in 2028, fine, let's pretend you're correct. What's more likely? Man United win the league. Let's do a poll on this. What's more likely? United win the league in 2028 or Amrim gets sacked in 2026? So what's more likely? Man United win the league in 2028 or Amrim gets sacked in 2026, which is next year? And there you'll find your answer on reality of where I think we're at. Just as a reminder, by the way, Spotify or Amazon or Apple or wherever you get your podcasts, the morning show will be going up as a podcast every morning at around 11, certainly before midday now. So if you are watching the morning show and you only get to watch 20 minutes or you're at work or something like that and you want to listen to the rest of it or you want to listen to it again because, you know, watching it and listening it, you might have missed things, make sure you go through the link in the description or scan the QR code. Give us a follow because that's going to be going up there and match reactions as well. So you can get to listen to them as well. George O'Hara says, 2 billionaire owners, yet we are broke. Work that one out. But mate, you know what? I saw a comment yesterday again, and it's hilarious how many times you get this. And it was something along the lines of Mark talking about Man United's future not being great when 2 billionaires are saying it will be great. How think I'll trust the billionaire? And I sort of laughed because I went, So what you're basically saying is you'll trust a billionaire over a Man United fan. That people who are billionaires might be billionaires because of specialism or ruthlessness. It doesn't mean they know how to run a football club. And I would trust all of you. Well, not all of you. I've read some of your chats. But I would trust most of you over Joel Glazer and Sir Jim Radcliffe based on 12 months of Sir Jim and 20 years of the Glazers. They are billionaires. They have access to wealth none of us will ever have. But it doesn't mean they know about football. And I tell you what, get them down my local for a game of pool and I'll absolutely batter them. You know, they can get their bloody bank balance out all they like. I'll humiliate them. So just because someone's a billionaire doesn't mean they're better than you at everything. Look at where they earn their money. They might have trampled all over people. They might have no manners. That they might be specialists in a certain area that they've made a lot of money out of. Doesn't mean they're better than you just because they're billionaires. Value yourself in life, people. Just because somebody's driving around in a better car than you doesn't mean they're a better person. They might have stole it. There might be crime that paid for it. Might be daddies. Might be mummies. Might be somebody's, you know, get home and it's time to
You don't know.
So value yourself. Otherwise, what's the point? I must say, Mark, you look great in a green sweater, says Nicola. Thank you very much. No, that's nice to hear. Jason says, do you think if results don't improve next season, Amrun will be placed by a low block manager to get a few more results to get us up the league, says Jason. That's my fear, because I do agree that if you had David Moyes in charge at the moment, we would move up the league probably to around 10th. Which is quite a point swing when you look at the league table. But there would be a ceiling as to what David Moyes could do at Man United. But with these players, he probably would get better results. And some people would fall into that trap. But it's a short-term fix and it's long-term pain. What we did with Amrun was actually correct. Short-term pain, long-term gain, if you back him. David Moyes will never compete with Arne Slot or Arteta. He will never do that at Man United or Chelsea or anything like that. But he might get better results in the short term because the football's quite basic to teach. If you want to compete with the Peps and the Artetas and the Slots, then you do need an Amrun. But you've got to give him the players to do it as well. So United bring the right manager in, but then don't give him the backing to do it. That's the problem. And if we ever go back to having a Moyes, we're screwed, really. Hitch says, sorry, Mark, with all due respect, you don't get the communication of Amrun the way he thinks. Also, in yesterday's show, you do not get the point. Amrun communicates very factual. With all due respect, Hitch, I don't respect your point or opinion there in the sense that we've been listening to Amrun for 4 months now, and I don't think you've got the total domination of what Ruben Amrun thinks or says. We, as a community and as a fan base, listened to Ralf Rangnick for 6 months. And he was a very similar manager to Ruben Amrun. Also, you don't have the oracle on Ruben Amrun as an individual. Many of us have worked in jobs where you interview people, analyse people, and speak to people. And it's not rocket science, mate. Some people are very straight to the point, like you say, and factual. Some people say things and actually want you to think other things as well. I'm absolutely convinced that Ruben Amrun is a very intelligent guy. And based on 4 months at Man United, I would say it anyway. He says one thing and wants you to wander off somewhere else. He did it about the transfer window as well. So I don't agree with you that he's factual. I don't think he says things and that's all he means. I think he says things and there is a deeper meaning to it as well. And I think when he says the plan for this football club is to be successful in the future and I might not be there, I think what he's actually saying is that he doesn't know whether he'll be there to see it through because it's Manchester United and you can't just say in 4 or 5 years you're going to be successful but be bad today. I think he knows that the plan is to be successful in the future, but will he survive the journey to be there if we get there? That's the point. What's more likely? United win the league in 2028, 15%. Amrun gets sacked in 2026, 85%. I think that sort of shows what you mean there. The younger generation have only seen mediocrity from our new signings in the last 10 years. The director of football and high-ups are to blame. You can't blame Amrun, says Spin. Yeah, I don't. I must just clarify here. I mean, I don't know the complexity of people's time they allocate to watching the United Stand. Some people turn up for every show. Some people maybe one show a day. I also don't know how long you've been watching the United Stand, but you're very welcome. Make sure you subscribe and everything like that. But in no way, shape or form am I anti-Amrun. But that doesn't mean I won't analyse and discuss things that he says. I don't want him to be sacked. I don't know whether he will be sacked. I didn't want Ten Hag to be sacked. Anybody will back me up on this. I don't sack managers. I haven't done it for a very long time. I was very, very late on Solskjaer. I was very, very late on Mourinho. I went early on Van Gaal, and I'll always hold my hand up to that. But on managers, I don't go early. A lot of people start leaping early so they can go, I told you so. It's the modern phenomenon, I told you so. I'm not interested in that. I don't know whether Amrun's going to survive. I agree with him going, he might not be here. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say he'll be there. I'm not saying he shouldn't be saying, I don't know whether I'll be there, because that would be arrogant in some way, shape or form. And I think he's being honest. I think he's being very honest, but I don't know whether he's going to be there as well. but I want him to be there. I want this football club to actually build something, and to build it, I'll put my hands up and say it's going to take 3 to 5 years. But it will take 3 to 5 years with the right manager and the right investment. And we didn't get the right investment in January. I don't think we're going to get the right investment in the summer. So for 3 to 5 years only starts when you've got the right manager and the right investment. Well, I think we've got the right manager, but I still don't think we've got the right investment. So I'm not even saying 3 to 5 years until I start to see proper backing. And he's not been properly backed yet. And that's the mic drop, isn't it? They aren't backing this manager. I think we've got the right manager. I think you need a manager who is stylistically capable of competing at the top level of European football. And I think stylistically he is. But until he gets the backing, there's no point. There isn't any. I love this club. Lived success in the 90s and noughties. It feels like we have a divine right for us to do well when the fact is some giants fall. And no question Southgate will be next. He'll finish seventh and be lauded as success. God help us, as Richard Smith. I don't know whether we would go for Southgate next, because I think Southgate was very much about Dan Ashworth. And obviously Ineos sacked Dan Ashworth. So I think the Southgate thing died with Dan Ashworth, if I'm being fair. I'm going to run out of time if I don't talk about this. There is a player who is 14 years of age. I believe he has English citizenship, maybe even Cyprus. His name is JJ. He has been described by many people as one of the most talented players Manchester United have ever had. Now, stories have started circulating that he could be leaving Manchester United. Now, it's expected that he's going to play for the under-18s very, very soon. He's 14. A very, very talented player. Now, the reason I'm mentioning it is one, this fan base is absolutely bloody fantastic. This club is fantastic, and please don't leave. But there is talk of big brand deals. There is talk of lots and lots and lots of top European clubs wanting him. And I'm not too hot on how it works, but they're expecting, I think when you're 16, you can go and sign for anybody outside of the club, outside of the country that you're playing in. And there's meant to be big money swashing around. But he's meant to be one of the most talented players we've ever had. Next Rashford to Spinelli. No, much better than that. The reason I'm mentioning it is twofold. One, if we let him go, what is the project? We're not buying people over 26 anymore because we want to bring in young players. We have a young player who has been spoken about as the next Messi, everyone's the next Messi, but you know what I mean? He's meant to be very, very special. But apparently now, United are saying they won't match what other clubs will pay because they have a policy. And this is what I mean. Like, we're not buying top-end players anymore because we're going to cultivate our own. And then you've got a player at the club who's really talented, but you know, we're not going to pay for it. We're not going to pay what Real Madrid are going to pay, so you can go. So you're sort of like going, so we're not going to do that. We're going to go for younger players. Oh, we've got this young player. Oh, we're not going to do that either. Mate, come on. It's hypocrisy. If he goes to Real Madrid and ends up being the next bloody Vinicius Jr., we're going to look right idiots, aren't we? And people say, well, you've got to have a structure. You've got to have a pay structure. Why? Why have we got to have that? Why have we as Man United fans got to say, let talented players go at 14 because we've got to have a structure? If he's that good, he'll make the money back in the future. If Real Madrid want to go for him, then why aren't we? But I'll tell you this for free. UEFA, the FA, they apparently, with younger players, have rules in place about restrictions, and you can't div this. I mean, in the past, you get a house for your parents and stuff like that. If you come and sign for us, and we'll buy your parents a house and your granners and everything like that. Apparently, that's all stopped. You know, you can't offer those sort of incentives anymore. Bullshit. It still goes on. So if Man United, whether it should go on or not, 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds, 12-year-olds, they're all getting incentives in one way or another to sign for clubs. And if Man United are going to try and pretend that, you know, they can't do that or whatever like that, is bullshit. Let's wait and see. But there's no point saying you're going to have a policy of promoting young players and getting the best young players and then having one of the best young players and him going off to Real Madrid at 16. So hopefully that's not going to happen, but it's one certainly to keep an eye on, because we are meant to be a football club that's about developing the best young players at the moment. And we have got this 14-year-old who is meant to be amazing, who maybe is going to be heading off somewhere else. Tracy says, if Man United sacked Amrim, could he take Pep's job? Oh, don't even talk to me about that. Stranger things have happened. Toddy says, no joke, will you keep doing the United stand if United just keeps getting worse and worse? Great work, mate. Thank you, says Toddy. Well, I mean, look, supporting your club is not about packing it in, is it? So, please stream for another hour, says Ladios. I would love to, mate. But as you know, I've had an eye op lately and I need to go and get some drops in it and I need a cup of coffee. But it's a fantastic show this morning. Absolutely fantastic. And if you enjoyed it so much, Ladios, why not go for a walk and listen back to it on Spotify? Thanks, everyone, for watching. We are back at 2 o'clock. I think we've got a press conference tonight, but it's definitely a 7 o'clock show because I'm doing Liverpool PSG on That's Football. Great show this morning. Lots of great comments. Really appreciate it. And I will speak to you on the next one. Take care.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.